Some big companies are earning money. How about you?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It's time for the Morning Open, when we take stock of business and the economy just as stock markets begin trading for the day. Coming up, we've got some earnings news this morning with a Kung Fu grip. And is your retirement plan booming right along with the stock market? Maybe, maybe not. First, let's ask, where's Wall Street? Stocks are flat right now. The NASDAQ is just about dead even, and the S&P 500 is up 0.1%. The Dow is ahead a mere 18 points, but that does put it back across the 10,000 threshold at 10,014. European shares are up about 1% now, and Asian stocks were mostly higher today, too. Oil jumped to its high for the year overnight, $79 a barrel. And it's just under that now. Sam Stovall is Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research, and he's with us live this morning from New York City. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Bill.
So we got some more corporate earnings this morning. Gannett, the biggest newspaper publisher in the country, Hasbro, BB&T, all beat estimates. What do you make of that?
Well, it seems to be a continuation of a string of better-than-expected results. Alcoa, J.P. Morgan Chase, Intel. So it seems as if less bad is good and getting even better.
And aside from earnings, so what's the other good news out there?
Well, we got some commentary from a senior government official in China indicating that their estimate of GDP growth in the first 9 months was at 7 to 8%, so squarely puts it on target for an 8% growth this year, and also on target for our forecast of 10% growth next year.
Okay, so Sam, we've heard a lot about the Wall Street rally. I want to talk about the rest of us. Many of my friends and colleagues will be getting their quarterly retirement statements these days. So among the mutual fund industry, where a lot of us have retirement plans, who's performing and not performing?
Well, I think those investors who have a lot of money allocated toward index funds probably are seeing better returns since the March 9th low than those that are in actively traded funds. I think primarily because a lot of active managers have probably been on the sidelines waiting for a sharp correction before putting more money to work.
Wow. If you're paying those management fees, that hurts, Sam. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Bill.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. In other news this morning, billionaire hedge fund manager Raj Rajaratnam is talking to his employees in New York this morning. He is out on bail 3 days after he was arrested for a massive insider trading allegation. Authorities say his firm, Galleon, acted illegally on information from companies that include IBM and Google. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The SEC's director of enforcement said Rajaratnam was no master of the universe. He was a master of the Rolodex, calling contacts at companies and getting information before trading. But that's what all hedge funds do, says Fordham University securities law professor Steve Thiel.
There's some insider trading we know is unlawful, and there's some we know is lawful, but the line is very tough.
For instance, he says,
I can't talk to the president of a company and learn information and buy the company stock. But I can talk to him and learn information and use it to buy a competitor stock.
Thiel says with Rajaratnam's arrest, all hedge funds will have to take a hard look at their own practices. Authorities gathered evidence in this case through wiretaps, but these days they're relying more heavily on sophisticated software to monitor suspicious trading. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And this morning, CIT Group, that huge lender to small and mid-sized businesses, issued a warning that even if it restructures its debt, it might still have to file for bankruptcy. Some economists say a CIT collapse would be a body blow to a sickly U.S. economy. You're listening to The Morning Report for Monday, October 19th at Marketplace.org. The latest chapter in the story of the electronic book opens today. Amazon is launching its international version of the Kindle e-reader. Now, in the U.S., Kindle sales are picking up. Analysts expect there'll be 3 million of them by Christmas. But what about the rest of the globe? Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
Amazon's Kindle dominates the US market, but as the company launches the device overseas, it faces growing competition. Around the world, there are no fewer than 17 e-readers in development or already on sale. Some have bigger screens, one even has colour. But the biggest question is this: will standalone e-readers themselves soon become obsolete? Stephen Hartley is with Ovum Research. He says other devices, like the iTouch, are getting more and more versatile.
There's no reason why you can't have text displayed on there. It won't be as good an experience as a Kindle, but the fact that you've got your music and your video on there as well would make it compelling.
But he concedes there's no reason why the Kindle should not itself morph into an all-purpose device. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In New York City, cab drivers are not allowed to use a cell phone while they drive. Handheld, hands-free, doesn't matter. But the Taxi and Limousine Commission says the cell phone ban isn't working, and they want to crack down even harder. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tight has our story.
Despite the existing cell phone ban, New Yorkers like Lisa Zicanella are used to cab rides peppered with conversation, the driver's conversation.
I don't think that they should use the phone at all while they're driving.
The Taxi and Limousine Commission agrees. Under its new proposals, any driver reported for cell phone violations three times in 15 months loses their license. Veteran cab driver Spiros Solangos says that's going too far. He says he hardly uses his hands-free phone, and never when he has a fare. He's skeptical of the city's motives.
And this is a good excuse, I believe, for the city of New York to make more money and give more tickets to the taxi drivers. This doesn't mean that it's for safety. No, I don't think so, no.
And then we were interrupted.
Let me see what's going on. I told you 100% that my wife is going to be on the phone.
She was, but yes. Even under the new rules, he wouldn't be in trouble for answering. He was parked. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
Last week, Goldman Sachs said so far this year it has set aside $16.7 billion for pay and bonuses. Yesterday, on NBC's Meet the Press, Senate Banking Committee Chair Chris Dodd added his voice to the umbrage chorus.
These firms on Wall Street need to understand that what they're doing by providing these bonuses, particularly when they receive so much federal money, is an outrage in the country.
So then why does Fortune magazine senior editor Alan Sloan think this bonus controversy is a distraction from the real outrage? Let's ask him. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Bill.
In what way are bonuses a sideshow?
So much coverage and passion has gone into the bonuses that people have forgotten what's really going on, which is there has been, as part of the government's trying to bail out the financial system and homeowners, an enormous transfer of wealth from the savers of America to the people who haven't saved. And in the process, Wall Street is making a fortune.
Tell me more about that. How is Wall Street making a fortune on the backs of savers?
It goes like this. If you have looked at interest rates lately, they are very low. Now, if you're on Wall Street and you use a lot of what they call leverage, which is a fancy term for borrowed money, and borrowed money gets much cheaper, what happens to your profits? Do they go up or they go down if the cost of borrowing money goes down?
They've been doing pretty well.
I believe that's right. And that's a major factor in a lot of the numbers we're now seeing out of Wall Street.
But wait a minute, weren't savers getting really low rates before the financial crisis hit? In fact, I thought low interest rates, that's one of the things that got us into trouble.
Well, there were low interest rates around the year 2000, the last bailout, which was bailing out the banks and the financial system from the tech bubble. But then the only rates that were really, really down were the short-term rates, which are the ones the Federal Reserve controls.
Well, Congress can tamp down bonuses, but what can be done about low interest rates that the government is telling us this economy needs to live?
The answer is nothing. And it may well be that as a society, we're better off with low interest rates than with high interest rates, because I don't want to see the financial system collapse. But what's been happening is there's been a massive transfer of wealth from the savers of America to the spenders of America.
So, in other words, it's even worse than we thought.
Yeah, it's worse than you thought, and it's different than you thought. But if you're thinking, you're way ahead of the game, because most people aren't.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Apple reports earnings later today after the market closes, and the numbers are expected to look great again. Apple is that rare company whose stock is higher today than it was about 2 years ago when the Dow was at its peak. So are there any worms threatening this company? On the line with us is James McQuivey. He follows Apple as an analyst with Forrester Research. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right now, the iPhone comes exclusively with AT&T as the carrier. When that contract expires next year, is that going to be good for Apple or bad?
No matter what comes out of this, it's going to be good for Apple, because either AT&T is going to step up and pay a hefty sum to make sure they maintain their exclusivity with Apple, or AT&T is going to not be able to afford it, and as a result, Apple will be able to shop around and get a few more providers. Certainly someone like a Verizon or a Sprint would be very eager to get in on the action and would pay for the privilege to do so.
And would that carrier competition make the iPhone any cheaper for consumers?
Probably in the end slightly cheaper. Where it's going to be cheaper is on the data plans, probably for lower speeds.
Verizon just launched an ad for its upcoming phone using Google's Android operating system, and there's already an Android phone with T-Mobile. How big a threat does Google's Android pose to Apple?
You know, in the short run, it's not much of a threat at all. The smartphone market is going to grow dramatically. However, if Android is successful, it will be successful because anyone can develop applications for it that don't have to be approved by Google. And that's not the case with the iPhone. And so if Google is in a position to say, hey, let's have a dozen or two dozen carriers use our phone's operating system, and let's let thousands of developers develop applications for it, you might see 3-4 years from now a world where there are many more Android phones than there are iPhones.
Analyst James McQuivey at Forrester Research, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, a Birmingham, Alabama man who goes by the nickname Racer X bought a vanity license plate with seven X's on it. Trouble is, seven X's also happens to be Birmingham City code for a car with no license plate. The man figured this out with the help of $19,000 in parking tickets. Birmingham's traffic engineer seems open to change. Instead of entering seven X's, he said, maybe we should just leave that part blank. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. The Dow is right at 10,000 now, gaining 4 points this morning. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.